From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. Benjamin Netanyahu claims victory in Israel's parliamentary election. With nearly all the votes counted from Tuesday's parliamentary ballot, incumbent Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's conservative Likud party appears to have secured 30 seats in the 120-seat Knesset. Robert Satloff, executive director of the Washington Institute on Near East Policy, says there was a record turnout of 72% of the Israeli electorate in Tuesday's election.
The conventional wisdom is that the large turnout, and there was an extremely large turnout in the election, was driven mostly by two factors. One, an economic imperative, the high cost of living, and then secondly, a referendum on Netanyahu, who is Israel's second longest serving prime minister and has been serving now for 6 years.
Zionist Union leader Isaac Herzog has conceded defeat. Meanwhile, senior Palestinian Authority official Abdullah expressed disappointment at Tuesday's result. Nigeria says it's begun the final onslaught against the Islamist insurgent group Boko Haram. Brigadier General Vio Esugu says the military has been bolstered by troops from other nations as well as new equipment.
We have new equipment for the armed forces. We have change of command. And we have also input of manpower. We have a synergy with local vigilantes. Everybody, Nigeria as a nation, came out to really, really fight insurgency.
Monday, the military declared the militants have been driven from the northeast town of Bama in Borno State. Nigerian, Chadian, and Nigerian soldiers have engaged Boko Haram just days before Nigeria's scheduled March 28th national elections delayed from February 14th. This is VOA News. Iran's chief negotiator, Ali Akbar Salehi, says Iranian officials have reached a mutual understanding with the U.S. and its negotiating partners on most technical issues. In Washington Tuesday, White House spokesman Josh Earnest said the two sides have made substantial progress, but said there remains a 50% chance at best of reaching a framework deal by March 31st.
The president's driving a very hard bargain, and Iran is going to have to make some very tough and specific commitments as it relates to resolving the international community's concerns with their nuclear program, as well as agreeing to a set of extraordinarily intrusive inspections.
Officials at the talks are trying to get closer to an outline of an agreement that would ensure that Iran's nuclear program is peaceful for at least a decade in exchange for easing economic sanctions. A U.S. Air Force veteran is being charged with trying to provide material support to the Islamic State militant group. A Justice Department statement says a grand jury also indicted Tayroid Nathan Webster Pugh on obstruction of justice charges. Pugh allegedly tried to join the IS group earlier this year, weeks after being fired from his job as an airplane mechanic. He faces up to 35 years in prison if convicted. The UN and Sudan are talking about ending the massive UN peacekeeping presence in the rest of western Darfur region. UN peacekeeping chief Hervé Ladsous addressed the Security Council Tuesday on the matter.
The working group will review the situation and develop a roadmap for the gradual exit of the mission. Upon completion of its work, it will submit the report on the exit strategy to the government of Sudan, to the AU Commission, and to the UN Secretariat. And the report then will be submitted to you and to the African Union Peace and Security Council.
Sudan has demanded an end to the UNAMID mission involving some 15,000 security personnel who've been on the ground since 2007 to end decades of fighting that has killed some 300,000 people. Tensions with Khartoum mounted over allegations of a mass rape of village girls and women in Darfur by Sudanese troops last October. A rights group says Iraqi troops and militia who pushed Islamic State fighters from the northern town of Amerli last September proceeded to loot and burn homes and businesses. Human Rights Watch says interviews with victims and witnesses and satellite images revealed that militia took items such as televisions, clothes, and electric wiring before setting buildings afire. Pakistani authorities Wednesday executed 9 more men on death row, bringing to 48 the number of convicts hanged across the country since the government reinstated the death penalty in December. On Tuesday, a dozen male convicts were executed, mostly in Punjab, in the largest single-day total since the government lifted its moratorium. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.